Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now. That's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Again.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so
damn.
Tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again. Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap. It just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah. I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
Money,
military, college.
Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, October the 13th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, got a very, very important topic for you. We started off talking about this yesterday. We want to continue. I guess you could say this is part two to the show or the series that we're talking about, dealing with time. We want to break down or go a little further into revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying this ideal, this message, this understanding of time, and how to figure out how valuable is your time, how much is your time worth, and then how do you free up your time? How do you get more time? Because we all have the same amount of time. There's only 24 hours in a day. So I need to be able to utilize my time. I want to be able to free up my time. I want to be able to make sure that my time focused on purpose-based production. So today we want to make sure that we break down the under, over, and understanding of time, what it is, what it's about, and how can I utilize it, or how can I maximize it. But the first thing that we want to do is, how do we figure out the value of time? So everybody's definition, everybody's understanding of time and its value or lack of value is different. So there is one question that you have to ask yourself that will help you clear up or give you a better understanding of time. Now, remember, as we talked about on yesterday's show, when we're talking about time, it's a very interesting word because time is how we measure something. But what if there was no such thing as time? Now, time has changed because it's the way that we kind of catalog events. So time is a system that measures events, and it allows us to put things in the past, put things in present tense, and put things in future tense because time is a measure. It is the continuing measurement of events as they proceed one after another. So time has to do with a particular duration. Time is interesting because when you look at time, what is the period or what is the value of a specific telomere? Now, one of the books and topics that I'm working on right now is what is called telomatics, telomeres. And so telomeres are inside the body, telomatics are outside of the body, but they both put a cap on a duration or a system of time. And so a system of time, a duration of time, has a specific amount of worth or value. But how do you ascertain, how do you come up with the particular value that is associated with a particular period of time? And so it is this ability to understand that if I ask you this one question, how would you answer it? Now, before I ask this question, I want you to think about something, and that is, it is a period, it is a duration. So time is a period or a duration of a particular event. So how much is a particular event worth to you? Now, again, I'm going to ask you this question, and I need you to answer this question honestly and truthfully with the first thought that comes to your mind. Now, this is very important because we are establishing a measure. We're establishing the value of your time. Now, I've already established the value of my time, so now I need you to establish the value of your time because if you can answer this question honestly, it will really transform your way or the way by which you under, over, and understand time. This ability, again, to answer this question honestly really helps to put time in its particular or its correct or the right perspective. So my question to you is, and again, this is how we measure time. This is how we put value on time. How long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? Now, let me let the question marinate. I want you to think about the quest. Because when I ask the question, we are embarking upon a quest, and a quest is a journey to discover the truth. So the quest or the question is, how long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? Now, let me make sure you over, under, and understand the question, because without understanding the question, you don't understand the value. So $100 is worth what? $100 gives us or allows us to do certain things. So time is equated to money. So I need to put a time value on a monetary bill. So everybody's answer to that question is different. Now, let me make sure you understand the question again. If you are standing in line, my brothers, if you are standing in line, my sisters, how long would you stay in that line for a $100 bill? Would you stand in line for 1 hour if I gave you a $100 bill? Would you stand in line for 2 hours if you knew at the conclusion of standing in that line, I was going to give you a $100 bill? How long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? Now, again, I'm pausing because I need you to understand the depth of the statement, because I'm asking, or I'm placing, or I want you to understand how to figure out how much your time, which is your life, is worth. Now, I can go to the hood right now, and I can put up a sign, free $100 bills to the first 10 people. And I wonder what kind of a response I would get. I imagine that it would be pretty good. Because when I think about how long would I stand in line for a free $100 bill? Now, that's a good question, to be honest with you. If I knew I was going to get a $100 bill, would I stand in line? And how long? I might stand in line for an hour. I doubt very seriously that I would stand in line for a free $100 bill for 2 hours. I don't know. Then we have to add in circumstances. So that leads me to the second question. Now, again, I need you to answer these questions honestly, if at all possible. Because when we talk about understanding the value of your time, most people, myself included, I have a difficult time equating time with life and life with money. Because if I had the knowledge that I have today, man, I would live my life the way that I'm living my life now when I was 16, probably 13. So how long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? Please write down your answer. Next question. I want you to think about how long would Oprah Winfrey stand in line for a free $100 bill? How long would Jay-Z stand in line for a free $100 bill? How long would Bill Gates stand in line for a free $100 bill? How long would Donald Trump stand in line for a free $100 bill? How long would Mark Cuban stand in line for a free $100 bill? How long would anybody on the panel of Shark Tank stand in line for a free $100 bill? Answer, none of them suckers would stand in line. They wouldn't even get in line for a free $100 bill. So why would I, or why would you, stand in line for a free $100 bill? See, I kind of set you up with that question. See, most people I know, they say, yes, sure, I get in line for a free $100 bill. Homie, where's the line at? I stand in line for an hour, 2 hours. There are people on Black Thursday or Friday, whatever they call it, Black Friday, they camp out in front of Best Buy. They camp out, like stay overnight, 12 hours just for the possibility of purchasing a gaming system, some type of a new electronic, a new phone on sale. There are people again, watch this coming Thanksgiving, the day before, the day after, whatever it's called, Black Friday, it's going to be on the news. You're going to see somebody get ran over. You're going to see somebody probably die. You're going to see a fight. with the possibility, not a guarantee, just the possibility of getting a discount. You still got to pay money. Just the standing and camp out overnight, 12 hours. There are people who would spend 12 hours of their time sleeping out in front of Best Buy or some electronic place to purchase an electronic device or gaming system at a discount. They camp out 12 hours, 24 hours. There are people who will stand in line at a Jay-Z concert, Kanye West concert, Beyonce concert. There are people that will camp out. If Oprah Winfrey was coming to speak and was giving away free tickets, there are people that I know that would stand in line to see. What about the Pope? I remember the Pope came to San Antonio. It was a long time ago. It was the craziest thing I ever seen in my life. There are people that will camp out just for the opportunity for the Pope to touch them on their forehead. Craziest things than sliced bread. Now, I need you to understand, because, see, when God showed me this, I'm still a little disappointed at myself. Because if I'm honest with you, if somebody told me probably a month or two before I came into Revelation, a deeper revelation. Now, I wrote the book that's going. We're going to talk about with the second part of today's show, which is how to free up your time. Now, I've always known this, so this isn't revelation, but a deeper understanding was that I was Willie Foo-Foo. I was playing Willie the Fool because I was willing. See, Oprah Winfrey, she's not willing. Donald Trump, he's not willing. Jay-Z, he's not willing. Bill Gates, he's not willing. Mark Cuban, I don't even have to ask him. I already know they are not willing. They will not even send one of their assistants to stand in line for a $100 bill. Why? It ain't worth it. Their time is worth more than a $100 bill, homie. Their time is worth more than a $100 bill, sister, and so is yours. But we haven't been understand. Well, let me rephrase that. I did not understand the value of my time. That's why I was sitting up at 9, 10 o'clock at night talking to a group of people. No disrespect to those group, that group of people, because they should have been talking to me. Because their time is more valuable than spending it with me, because they got loved ones that's right there in the same house and in the same city that they're in. Time. How much time? Can you create more than 24 hours in a day unless they change the current construct? No. Everybody gets the same 24 hours. What you do with that 24 hours is different. What does Oprah Winfrey do with her 24 hours that she gets every day? What does Donald Trump do with his 24 hours? What does Mark Cuban do with his? What about Jay-Z? What about Kanye? All of the millionaires in the business. What about Sam Walton? What did he do? How did he establish Walmarts around the country? What does Sam Walton, what about Mark Deming? How did these guys become billionaires? What about my boy over at Virgin Airlines and the Virgin Phones? I forgot his name. How these billionaires, what do they do with their time? How valuable is their time? You can't give a billionaire nothing because he don't want nothing for free because he understands the value of time. Billionaires don't waste time looking for free shiznits. Billionaires produce time, or they create with their time. So the fact, the question is flawed. The entire conversation, the entire construct is flawed. So when I ask you, how long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? When I asked you that question, you should have got pissed off, but you didn't. You thought just like I did. Damn, I wonder if there was a FEMA camp and they was giving away free money, would you go get in line? I bet you probably would. Me, I wouldn't. Why? Because I know I can produce $100 bills in that same amount of time. I could probably produce five or six $100 bills at the same time that I'm standing in line for that free $100 bill. So let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, because without understanding time, then everything that I'm saying doesn't make sense. It doesn't make dollars and cents. So when I ask you the question, and I kind of set you up, if you answer, if you thought about it, you honestly thought about the answer, right? When I said, wow, free $100 bill, what I got to do for it? Nothing. All you got to do is waste your time. All you got to do is get in line, and I'm going to give you a free $100 bill. Now, since there's going to be a great turnout for this free $100 bill, it's going to take some time. And I'm not going to open the doors. I'm only going to give a free $100 bill to the first, let's say, three people. So everybody's going to rush over there to be first, to get in line, to be one of the three people. People do this all the time because they time. This is how the powers that be control the masses, because they know that you would do A for B. That's why we go to a job, because we know if we go to that job and we put in time, we get dollars. Now, there's nothing wrong with that construct as long as you understand to maximize the time. So if somebody's going to give me time, this is why I've had 68 times. Because when I go to a job and I'm sitting there at that job, my brain is telling me, Negro, what are you doing? The whole time I'm there, that's all my brain says, Negro, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you here? And I'm telling myself, I got guaranteed dollars. And they say, yeah, but you're only getting 12 of them. And I say, yeah, but it's guaranteed. But my brain keeps telling me, you can create $12 an hour pretty much in your sleep. And so I get up and walk out. And everybody at the job look at me like I'm stupid. See, I don't think, my brain doesn't operate that way. So I'm going to ask you the question again. How long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? But that's not even the real question. Even that question is a setup for the next question. How long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? Well, the answer to that question, I wouldn't even show up. I wouldn't even get in line because I don't know a free. Now, let's say you're homeless. Now, when I was homeless, and I've been homeless, just, it wasn't that long ago. When I was homeless, I still wouldn't get in line for a free $100 bill. I wouldn't do it because I know that I can create a $100 bill in less than the amount of time that I'm standing in line to get the free $100 bill. Now, the next question is, why wouldn't Oprah Winfrey stand in line for a free $100 bill? Because Oprah Winfrey would probably design the system by which to create, to give out a free $100 bill. Why wouldn't Bill Gates stand in line for a free $100 bill? The reason that Bill Gates and Oprah Winfrey and Donald Trump and Mark Cuban and none of the people who have real money, the reason that they would never think standing in line for a $100 bill, because they don't need the $100 bill. And so you better start thinking the same way they think. So you have to change your thinking to think exactly the way that they think. Because then you will feel exactly the way that they feel. Then you will have exactly what they have. So my question to you is, how would you feel? Like, this is honestly, because this is the key. How do they feel? So if you woke up tomorrow morning, and for some strange reason, there was $25 million in your bank account. And it was legitimate, so you didn't have to worry about it was an accident. You found out that you was a Rockefeller and you was a Rothschild or a Kennedy or a Schwarzenegger, and you didn't know. So you live your whole life, and then you found out, hey, I'm a joint heir. I'm a royal priest. All of a sudden, now think for a moment. Honestly, how would you feel? Please go there with me just for a moment. How? Think. Let's be more realistic. Let's say $1 million. How would you feel if you knew you had $1 million in your bank account right now? How would you feel? Now, think about the question, because the Bible says whatever the answer to that question is, that's the way you should feel right now. So God is insulted. The universe is pissed off when you come to the universe without that mindset. Let me make sure you understand how God thinks. Because right now you are violating universal spiritual law. You violate universal spiritual law. My sons piss me off whenever they think that they don't have money because they don't have money. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. I was just talking to my wife 5 minutes ago, and my brother was thinking about going to see one of his sons he hadn't seen since, man, I want to say 15 years. His son is a football player, full ride scholarship at a school up in Chicago. He hadn't seen his son since him and his wife got divorced, so we were thinking about going to watch a football game. And I got a little unnerved because I was talking to my wife, and she said a statement that implied separation. This is how God thinks. This is how I think. This is how you must think. Because God doesn't think, he doesn't care if you don't have money, because he does. The universe doesn't care the fact that you don't have wealth, health, wisdom, or a toe-curling relationship, because it has it. So the universe says that you are a part of me. So you are an extension of God. You're an offspring. That's what the Bible says. You're a joint heir. You're a royal priest. Now, the offspring of a thing grows up to be like the thing. A joint heir has the same thing that the heir does. So if my son doesn't have any money and I got money, if I got money, you got money. Let me make sure you understand how the one percenters think. Because unless you think like that, your time has no value. And since you and your life is nothing but time, therefore, if your time has no value and your life has no value, you have no value. So you are sending out unknowingly. Now, you don't know this. I didn't know this until the Father showed me this. And I asked the Father, I want to go to Winfrey level. And the Father said, you ain't qualified because you ain't on the same frequency as Oprah. You ain't on the same frequency as Jay-Z. You ain't on the same frequency as Mark Cuban. You ain't on the same frequency as Jerry Jones. Now, when Jerry Jones go to a restaurant, he don't look at the price on the menu. When Jerry Jones and Jerry Jones' wife go shopping, I'm sure when Mrs. Jones goes shopping, I don't think she checks the price tag on nothing that she buys. In fact, I'm pretty sure she doesn't, considering that they spend $1 billion on a football stadium. You can drop $1 billion on a football stadium. I don't think, you know, $30,000 for a blouse is going to be an issue. But, see, we don't think like that. So why don't you think like that? Because you don't know what Jerry Jones knows. You don't know what Oprah Winfrey knows. You don't know what Jay-Z knows. You don't know what any of the one percenters know. They know that they don't have to have it physically because they got it mentally. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Now, how do they get it? Let me make sure you understand the game. Big picture. How to figure out how much your time is worth. Because your time, again, is your life. Because every second I spend on this earth, I am wasting my life. Every time I waste my time, that's why I don't like wasting my time. The older I get, man, the more pissed off I can't hang out with stupid. I have no disrespect to nobody, man. No disrespect to nothing. I can't waste time because I've already wasted too much time. So my time has worth. My time has value. You won't find Oprah wasting time. When Oprah sits down and to read a book, it's because that's how she has chosen to spend her time. So that's not a waste. My wife likes fishing. So when my wife goes fishing, that's not a waste of time for her. Me, fishing is like, it's okay. But her value on fishing and my value of fishing is a little different. I value fishing, but would I go on a one-week fishing trip out to the deep Alaskan sea? My wife probably would be like, yeah, sign me up for that program. I would say I would probably go if I got an internet connection. I can take my computers. I can do one-on-ones. I can do short. I would go. Because I see the way I value my time. So your value for your time is different from my value for my time. So if I go ask a homeless man, how long would you stand in line for a $100 bill? He would probably say, shoot, ain't no time, brother. I got nothing but time. If I went to a Supermax prison where everybody got 3 terms and I asked them, how long would you stand in line in the prison yard for a $100 bill? You know what they're going to tell me? Is that a real question? Where's the line? Because they ain't got nothing but time. They ain't going nowhere. Their time is regulated. So for a scientist in a Supermax prison, if you ask them how long would they stand in line for a $100 bill, they're going to ask you, where is the line? There is no money. I'm going to stay there all day if I got to. I ain't got nothing else to do with my time. But if you ask me, well, how long would I stand in line for a free $100 bill, I ain't getting in that line, homie. Because my time is worth more than a $100 bill. Now, it didn't used to be, but it is now. Now, if you ask Oprah Winfrey, Oprah, how long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? She's going to look at you like, is this a joke? Her next word would probably be, security, please escort this fool out of my presence. Because they probably would wipe their badonky-donk with a $100 bill. Because a $100 bill doesn't really have no value. Because they're billionaires. You know how many $100 bills it takes to make up $1 billion? You think Jay-Z was standing in line for a $100 bill? So how long would you stand in line for a $100 bill? Would you even get in line? I wouldn't get in line. Would you? Would you get in line for a free, be honest, man. Keep it real. Would you get in line for a free $100 bill? Yeah, you probably would. Now, how long would you stay in that line? Some of you would probably stay in line for about 5 minutes. So, you know, now for 5 minutes, I'd probably get in that line too. I'm going to be honest. You give me a free $100 bill, so I got to stand here for 5 minutes and I get a $100 bill? Okay, sign me up for that program. Now, ask Mark Cuban. Hey, Mark. Hey, homie. $100 bill, stand in line. He said, you know what? I'm going to send my assistant. Can he stand in line for me? I don't think Cuban would stand in line for no. Now, he might. I don't think Jay-Z, Kanye, Trump, I don't think they would stand in line 5 minutes. Now, what about 60 seconds? They might even stand in line for a $100 bill for 60 seconds, or they might not. I don't know. I know I would. 60 seconds, $100, sign me up for that program. So you see, time takes on different value depending upon circumstances. So if I'm homeless and I haven't eaten and I got a terminal disease and I got this and a whole bunch of stuff going on in my life and you tell me you're going to give me $100 just to stand in line for an hour, where I stand at. But if I am in the position that I am now, I got the activities of my mind. I'm in good health. I have a knowledge. I got understanding. I'm in a great relationship. Life is good. I have the ability to create out of thin air. Anytime I need wealth, I just create it. I just use my brain. And I take, again, what I see and I share. I see it, I share it. I see it, I share it. Now, there is a charge for me to share. So that charge that I for sharing what I see, that allows me to be. So if you understand how that dog hunts, that's a pattern, and patterns are power. If you understand that pattern, you can be very powerful. So Oprah, Donald Trump, Sam Walton, they all saw something, and then they shared it, and then they decide to monetize before they share it. Then they tested the market. They shared it with a few people, and then the few people say, hey, man, we love it, man, give us more of that. And they started sharing. There was a young whippersnapper I knew, a little kid, and me and my wife brought a plate from him. He came over, he dropped it off. Now, he started off, I'm watching him on Facebook, and I'm watching him grow. He started off, I knew him when he was a little kid, 3 years old. Me and his father was pretty good friends. We were both ministers at the same church. Now, he's a young man, early 20s, and he just got his DBA. You know, I've been kind of, you know, I gave him a couple of tips online and a couple of recommendations. And he started off, he just likes to cook. He said, man, I don't know, I just like cooking. This dude stays up all night, and there's this fear. I don't know if you see him, but I need you to understand time. So what he does with his time is he cooks. So I told him to share. He started sharing, and he started developing a whole lot of people who like what he shared. So I told him to monetize what you share. So he started monetizing, and now he don't work no more. Now all he does is he cooks. He gets paid very good to cook, and he just drives around. Now he got to building. Now he's giving, but he started off in his house, in his own car, delivering food. He would cook it, he would get in his car, and he would drop it off. He came by my house, dropped it off, me and my wife tasted it. Yeah, it's good. So I said, hey, man, keep doing it, but monetize what you share. Because why? When he came over to our house and dropped off the plate, and not only did I pay him for the plate, I paid him extra because it was good, number one, and I know the guy. So he's utilizing his time. And now he's doing number two. This is what I need you to do. How do you free up your time? So I'm watching him on Facebook, and now I notice that he got other people. He's using O-P-E, not O-P-M. Now, no disrespect, but a lot of self-help and a lot of multi-level marketing companies and stuff, they teach O-P-M. Now, I used to teach the same thing. O-P-M is other people's money. Now, that dog will hunt. I'm not going to lie to you. That dog will hunt, hunts very well. However, there's another method that's even better, which I use, which is called OPE, other people's energy, other people's efforts, other people's emotions, other people's entities. Now, I know that's probably contrary to your theology, but let me make sure you over, under, and understand. See, Donald Trump, what's Donald Trump doing? He's got a freaking circus going on because he's doing OPE. Donald Trump is not interested in your money. He got his own. But what Donald Trump is interested in, what Donald Trump is controlling you because he's getting you involved in this racial bullshitness like everybody else, Donald Trump is controlling OPE because Donald Trump is not stupid. Everybody say what Donald Trump is doing. Donald Trump is a freaking genius. He's the master of disaster. He's a master of distractions. He's distracting you while he's signing off executive orders that's taking away your rights. Now, Obama did it, but I like the way Obama did it because Obama was like most black dudes. He was smooth. Obama was sticking in the back, and you didn't even feel the pain. You was like, now, Trump, he ain't got time to be smooth. He going to stick you, you're going to feel the pain, and he gonna slap you upside the head and say next. See, Obama and Trump, they both on the same team, but Trump is putting it in your face, and Obama isn't. See, once you answer these two questions, it changes your whole life. Once you understand these two questions, not answer them, but once you understand, again, cause, you never deal with effect. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Once you understand causality, you never deal with the effectuality. Causality, in the Matrix, it talks about causality. When old boy, when they go see the Merovingian, and he talks about, you know, causality. What's the cause? What's the cause? You know, he go there and he's telling the, you know, what cause? You know, you just somebody tell you to go fetch here and you just go fetch here, but you don't ask why. See, The Matrix is a profile movie if you understand, and understand. So let me again remember question number one: how long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? Now, if you would answer that question, then you got a lot of work to do. If you answer that question, now, if you immediately thought, I'm standing in line, okay, that's good, that you're further up the ladder. How long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? That means that your time got a price tag. Now, you got to start somewhere. Now, where I started when I answered that question, I started with, oh, about 30 minutes maybe, I answer the question. And that question is a trap door. It's a trick question. And then when I ask the second question, how long would Oprah Winfrey stand in line for a free $100 bill? Your brain started thinking, like, inch, 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 inch. I can see the wires, the smoke coming out of your ears. Then I ask the question, how long would Jay-Z stand in line for a free $100 bill? How long would Bill Gates? How long would Mark Cuban? How long would Jerry Jones? How long would Jerry Jones stand in line for a free $100 bill? Brother Will, Jerry Jones would not stand in line for a free $100 bill. Okay, we're getting somewhere. Now that we got that out of the way, I ain't standing in line for no free $100. If I want $100 bill, I'm going to earn it. I'm going to create it. That's what Jerry Jones, that's what Oprah, that's what Mark Cuban, they all create, brothers. They are creators. They're not consumers. So most people, especially black folks, no disrespect, I'm black, so I can speak on it. Most black folks, especially black men, we are consumers. Everywhere we go, we leave a freaking trail of destruction. Look at the black race. Again, I'm black, so I can speak on it. I didn't read about it in no book. I grew up with an attitude that said somebody owed me something. I have an entitlement spirit because I had a bad childhood, so I figured, hell, I had a bad childhood. Somebody owed me something, the white man, the black man. Somebody going to pay me, man. See, that mentality that somebody owes you something, brother, that's how you end up in line at a FEMA camp looking for a handout because you looking. I ain't looking. Somebody put up a sign, free $100 bill. I'm not going to even look. I'm going to keep going. Why? I can create my own $100 bill. Now, then that leads us to the next question. How do I free up my time? There is something I need you to wrap your brain around for that all of the 1%ers do. They understand outsourcing. Now, outsourcing in today's world, especially with Trump in office, has a bad connotation. So, what do you mean? Now, I worked at USAA when I was in insurance, and all of their, no disrespect to no race of people, but all of the engineers was from India. And I remember as I moved up the ladder in insurance, and especially once I got to a federal level and started doing federal flood policies, and I was working with the actuaries, and I was working with all the guys who measure risk, and I got into understanding the law of large numbers. That's what they call it in insurance. They need to make sure they only buy or go into areas where the law of large numbers. That means they get a large number of premiums and they got a low number, again, of actual cases where people file. So the law of large numbers say I need to get a lot of people, but I have low risk. And once I got up to understanding how insurance works, I saw that the reason that all of the engineers and all of the actuaries and all of the higher-ups wasn't from America because they did something called outsourcing. So all of the big wigs and the 1%ers, they don't do things they're not good at doing. They understand what I talked about, which is the seventh secret to wealth demystification, one message, one audience. See, I didn't understand what Nick Saban does. Nick Saban is the head coach of Alabama. And you guys know one of my clients is like Nick Saban's. He was a personal friend of Nick Saban. He gets court seats every game and been there since, you know, his sons, he's Alabama alumni. So he goes to all the game and me and him talk. Again, he was my client for about a year, year and a half, multimillionaire. And we used to talk about Nick Saban. And the thing that separates Nick Saban is Nick Saban, unlike any other coach in any level, high school level, college level, NFL, he doesn't watch much film of the opponent. Now, when I first heard Nick Saban's coaching method, I was a little concerned. So Nick Saban teaches mastery. Nick Saban teaches position mastery. Now, when I first started talking with my client, and I understand, and he told me this is the same thing you do, and he told me in order to get to the next level, you need to do this even more. You need to become the Nick Saban of Dear Kinnear Reports. And he told me the reason that I'm a multimillionaire because I'm the Nick Saban of my industry. In other words, he don't worry about his competition. He masters his position. So he has no competition. Now, I need you to understand because, see, this is wealth secret number 7, and this is how you master. This is how you understand the value of your time. You don't spend your time doing shit that you ain't good at. See, the 1%, they never step out their lane. They hire somebody else who that is their lane. Now, let me make sure you understand, my brothers and sisters. There's this thing now, again, called outsourcing and virtual reality, which is virtual assistance, meaning you want to take what you do and dissect it into pieces. That's what I did. And you want to find the piece of the puzzle that you're good at. And the pieces of the puzzle is like, I'm not an accountant. So when I had my coffee shop bookstore and learning center, I would get frustrated about doing the books. I didn't like doing it. The wife didn't like doing it. We didn't like crunching the numbers. I liked the money coming in, spending them, but I didn't really like the books. I like to know, again, the profit and loss statement. I like the cost of good analysis. I like to know the books, but I don't like doing the books. So I did something, and I got something called a program. Now, remember, programs are patterns, and patterns are power. So there's two things that you must over, under, and understand in order for your dog to hunt, in order for you to maximize your time. Number one, you need a virtual assistant. Number two, you need to maximize technology. Now, we live in a technological age, so I need you to understand when I say virtual assistant, what am I talking about? Now, a virtual assistant doesn't necessarily have to be a person. A virtual assistant can actually be a thing. Meaning, now, Fiverr.com is one of the greatest resources. I use it. Both of my daughters who have their own businesses, they use it. I recommend it. I teach it in my 30 steps in 30 days. Tomorrow, which I totally forgot about, actually, I was getting ready to go to Chicago. Then I remembered, hey, I got a class tomorrow at 12 noon. So I may move the class up or back. So everybody who's paid for that class, I will email you and let you know. Again, everything has been recorded. So if you missed the live broadcast, no problemo. I'll make sure that you get the recording. But I need you to understand that there is something called Fiverr. It's F-I-V-E-R-R. Now, there's a plethora of different places that do outsourcing. Now, this is not a class on outsourcing. We're talking about maximizing your time and understanding the value of your time. So this is what I've done. So whenever I need to create graphics, now, I still do a lot of stuff myself. But as I go to the next level, I have to outsource. That means I need to find somebody else who God, there is somebody who God called to do graphics. So right now, primarily, I do my own graphics for all of my books. So whenever I want to do a book cover, I do it myself. Now, again, when you start off, this is great. You want to do this. But to get to Oprah Winfrey level, what do you think Oprah does when it comes to, you think she does her own marketing? You think she does her own copyright or advertising? You think she does her own wardrobe? I don't even know. She may not even bathe herself at this point. Who knows? But all I'm simply saying is that the ability to understand Nick Saban coaching, which is position mastery. Now, I've been teaching this for years. It's called purpose-based production. I got a whole book that talks about it. I also have another book called The Eagle's Workflow Management, where I teach every 15 minutes, again, especially if you like me, and you have what the society calls a handicap. That means somebody hands you a cap on your ability. Now, remember the word responsibility means that you must respond to the ability. Otherwise, you become a liability. And the word liability means you believe the lie about your ability. And if I can make you a liability and tell you that you're handicapped, then I'm going to place a cap or a ceiling on your earning potential, and you will become handicapped. So once you become handicapped, you become a liability. And once you become a liability, once you believe the lie that you ain't got no ability, then you can't take responsibility. You can't respond to the ability that God gave you. And then you go into the Luciferian camp. So in order to avoid becoming a handicap or a liability, you must do something that Nick Saban teaches, which I teach. You must take responsibility. You must respond to ability. Now, You don't even know what ability you have, because that's called a gift. Now, the Bible says that God has given gifts. He's given every man the measure of faith. And I talk about in every Dear Kenny report, in the back of the Dear Kenny report, I go through something called your gifts. And in your Dear Kenny report, I reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify based upon biblical alphanumerics, based upon theomathematics, based upon telematics, and based upon the telomeres inside of your DNA. You have been given, that's what the Bible says, everything that you need for life and godliness. Now, this is called your occupational specialty. So if you don't understand that there is a specific color that you have based upon the numbers, that's based upon the letters. So each number has its own vibration that's associated with the color. Based upon 1 through 9 are the 9 chakra colors. Now, colors allow you to exist on this dimension. It's called hue, H-U-E. That makes you a man. That's called that's the definition of existence. So you are a light being that has a particular hue that exists. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. But if you don't over-utter and understand that you have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels, what is this treasure? Christ. The force, the photon in you. So if you don't understand that you got this photon that is the light of the world. Now, he didn't say he created light. He says he is light. Now, let me make sure you understand the difference between the two. See, the Cosmogrator, again, they call him Lucifer. He got many different names, Belphegor, Asmodeus, Leviathan. They call him whatever you want to call him. But again, he's the light bender. He can't create, but he can manipulate. So if he can manipulate you, again, he gets you out of position. See, I don't teach like Nick Saban. I teach the over-under and understanding of position mastery. That means find your position. Now, when I was a football player, I played cornerback. Now, they call it defensive back now. Now, a defensive back, my job is to stop the pass. But when I was a defensive back, I would always peep into the backfield. Now, coaches watched the film. They knew that I was aggressive, so I would always get burned. Now, in football, that means that they run a circle play to get you to come up, and then they lob the ball over your head, touchdown. That used to happen to me quite a bit. Why? I was aggressive. See, I had a linebacker's mentality, but I had a cornerback's body, meaning that I thought like a linebacker. I just want to hit something. If it moved, I want to hit it. But out in the corner, I would get bored because very seldom do they throw the ball, especially in high school football. So, if I had a coach like Nick Saban, he would have taught me my position. My position is to present or prevent the completion of the pass first and have run support second. See, I had it backwards. I was run support first and then pass second. That's why I wasn't very good at a corner. I didn't understand my position. And most people don't understand your position. You need to find your position, which is what I teach, and outsource everything else. Now, outsourcing is a whole other topic for another time, but I need you to understand the value of your time. Because right now, as I'm speaking to you, God has already given you everything that you need for life and godliness in the form of your giftedness. There are many different gifts, according to the scripture, and God has given them according to his. Your job is to master that gift, to master your position. Now, brothers and sisters, the Greek word diakonia means service. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 1, the word is interpreted as ministry or ministrate. So, the word deacon comes from the Greek word diakonia. So this is actually one of the gifts of service or the gifts of helps that it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, also in Romans chapter 12, verse 7. So as a server, now again, I'm talking about your gift. I'm talking about your anointing. I'm talking about what you learned in school. So you, it based upon your gift, and again, there are many gifts, but there's one gift giver. And so the purpose of understanding time, you must first understand your gift or your purpose for being in time and your purpose for being in mass, your purpose for being in matter. Now, remember, the three must exist at the same, or they don't exist at all. In other words, you can't have time without space and matter. You can't have matter without time and space. All three must exist in time, must exist in space, and must exist in matter, and God is outside of all three. So God is not inside time. God is not inside space. God is not inside mass and matter. He's outside of time. He's outside of space. He's outside of mass and matter, and he placed you inside of this construct to express, expose, and expand your God-given giftedness. It's like a coach who's watching the football game or watching the players. He's not playing, but he put his characteristics and his attributes in each player, and they are expressing it on the field, like in a video game. In a video game, you're not the character inside the game. You have the controller inside of your hand. You're sitting in a chair, but you are expressing yourself through the controller into the character inside of the video game. Now, they call this virtual reality. That's why you need to have a virtual assistant. Now, the virtual assistant, all of my virtual assistants are technology. Technology allows me to be a virtual entrepreneur, or what I call, again, a laptop entrepreneur. So I am a laptop businessman. What does that mean? That means that as long as I can take my laptop, I can conduct business. So I may be doing my webinar this Saturday from Chicago. Why? All I need is a laptop. As long as I got a laptop and an internet connection, I can be virtual, because I use technology to outsource. That means to maximize my space and to maximize my time. So why one of my brothers or sisters or somebody else, or my wife or somebody else, is driving, I could be doing what I'm good at while somebody else is doing what they're good at or what they're called to do. That's what Oprah does. That's what Bill Gates does. That's what Sam Walton did. That's what my boy who started Kentucky Fried Chicken did. That's what every billionaire has done. Everybody, and again, this is not about money. This is about purpose. This is about destiny. This is about understanding your service and your ministry and why God put you on the planet. God put you on this planet to do what the fig tree didn't do. So Jesus walked past the fig tree. The scripture says that he was hungry, and the fig tree wasn't doing its purpose. It didn't have no fruit on it. So he walked past the fig tree. What did he do next? He cursed the fig tree. It withered up and dried. So why did he curse the fig tree? Because it has no fruit. Now you can go to another one and say, Brother Will, I don't know about that, homie. Well, let's go to the story of the talents. Y'all know the talents? So he asked the three to be fruit. One man did something with the talent, another man buried his talent, another man just kept it in his pocket. He took the talent from the guy that didn't do nothing and gave it to the guy that did do something. That tells me that the God I serve, the big one, not the little one, is about growth. Now, I'm not talking about destination disorder, where you just had what I had. You got a disease that doesn't allow you to see value, worth and value in where you are at. You got this disease that allows you to, again, have the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the cares of this world. See, that dog right there, that don't hunt, not spiritually speaking. So I'm not talking about destination addiction. I'm talking about, the Bible says that godliness plus contentment is great gain. See, that dog will hunt right there. Godliness plus contentment is great gain. Let me say it again. Godliness plus contentment is great gain. Let me say it one more time. Godliness plus contentment is great gain. Godliness means moral character. Contentment means mastery of space. It means not needing outside assistance. Look it up in the Greek. Look it up in the Hebrew. It means that you are a self-containing, single-standing column of waveform energy that I teach. Again, that is what science says you are. So science says that you are a single standing column of waveform energy, but you want to do something that you're not designed by God to do, Brother Will. That's what got me in trouble. Every time I've gotten in trouble in my life, I tried to be Captain Save a Blank. I went outside of my calling, and I wanted to do something good. I wanted to help somebody. God didn't tell me to do that. Now, remember, God walked past 1,000 to reach the one. Now, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is the big G said that, hey, I'm called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm in the store of the lady who came by and she said, hey, Father, my daughter is sick. Said, say the word and she'll be healed. And remember, the disciples told her, yeah, get this woman away from me. Jesus himself said that I am here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Basically, I ain't going to help you. And the woman replied to him, even dogs can eat the crumbs from the master's table. She was persistent. And the father said at that moment, he didn't have to go over there. At that moment, her daughter was healed. And why? He says that your faith, because of your faith, because of your belief, because of your understanding of spiritual law, she understood, as I said at the beginning of this show, she understood the same thing that I want my wife to understand, that I want my sons to understand, that I want my daughters to understand, that I want everybody to understand universal spiritual law that says, if God be for you, who can be against you? In other words, just because you ain't got money, that don't mean God don't got money. So God says, why worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink? Do you know that your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things before you even ask? So what am I saying? I'm saying that your mindset should be one like it says in Hebrew. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You should have evidence that you can't see called a positive, faithful, optimistic mentality that says, if God be for me, that says, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging bread. So when you walk through the valley of shadow and death, you should fear no evil. Why? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If God be for you, if his rod and staff, you got the rod, you got the understanding of biblical, universal, spiritual law, then sure, you may be in the valley. Sure, you may be maybe in the belly of the world. Sure, you may be in the lion's den. Sure, you may be in the fiery furnace. I'm not saying this is no cakewalk. You're going to, the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall, not if you fall. So when you fall, as I've been saying for 20 years, when I lose, I win. When I win, I win. So I wake up every morning happy, go lucky, going out. Do I have bad days? Sure, I'm just like everybody else. But when I get knocked down, I get up. And I recommend you do the same. That's the value of your time. Your value, your time, you don't spend 1 second. You cannot afford the luxury of a negative thought. You can't afford it. Too expensive. You cannot afford to waste 1 minute of your time hanging out with low life, deadbeat, no good for nothing. Now, I'm not saying you disrespect people or none of that stuff. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you don't disrespect your own thought process. The Bible says bring every thought into captivity and see if it is of God. See if it is of Christ. Bring every thought. Now, Christ is the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. That means if a thought comes into my head that say, rob a bank, that's not in my office. That thought is not a part of my purpose. My purpose is to replace error with truth. My purpose is to uplift the spirit of humanity. That's my purpose. I got one message and I got one audience. So, therefore, if anything that comes into my mind, now remember, if I would have had this mindset from Jump Street, none of the shizness that happened into my life would have happened. Everything that happened in my life, I was led astray by the lust of my own eyes, by the pride of life and the cares of this world. I guarantee you, I put every dime I got on every problem that you have in your life was probably self-ordered. Why? Lust of the flesh, pride of life, cares of this world. Guaranteed, I put all my money on the fact that it falls in one of those three categories. So you need to have godliness and contentment. Because the self-improvement industry says you need to improve. I brought it, hook, line, and sinker. How the hell are you going to improve perfection? The Bible says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. That word perfect means telomere. So in other words, God, he perfected you, and then he put a cap on you. It's called a telomere. Somebody trying to take it off. Now, brothers and sisters, how do you figure out how much your time is worth? By understanding the two questions that I ask, and I will close with the same two questions. How long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? How long would you stand in line for a free $100 bill? Next question. How long would Oprah Winfrey stand in line for that free $100 bill? How long would Bill Gates stand in line for that free $100 bill? How long would Jay-Z or any other one percenters, how long would they stand in line for a free $100 bill? Answer, they wouldn't even get in line. So why are you in line? I recommend that you free up your time by finding and understanding what God has called, gifted, and equipped it. He's predestined you. He's glorified you. He sanctified you. He justified you. A specific purpose for a specific time. Your job is to oscillate and vibrate in that space and outsource, not OPM, not other people's money. Don't con people. Don't be walking around trying to beg, doing all the crap I used to do. It's not about OPM. It's about OPE. Understands other people's energy. Other people's energy. Other people's emotion. That's what Donald Trump is doing. That's what the 1% does. That's what Bill Gates does. That's what Oprah does. That's what Jay-Z did. He got other people helping him to fulfill. Every pastor I know, they got a congregation, and the congregation, the pastor, he ain't a one-man team. The church is not about one man. The church is about the man. Again, look at Christ. Christ is the head and you the body. Christ is the head. We are all the body. There is no one-man show. No man is an island unto himself. We all are in this together. It's time for us to stop bickering and arguing and all the racial division that the powers that be, the 1%ers, specifically one particular individual, as you guys know, that's just trying to promote. It's time for us to oscillate and vibrate on a high level. How do we do that? Don't get in line for what he's selling. He's selling division. Don't get in that line. Stay wrapped up in your own destiny, your own purpose. Brothers and sisters, you have been given everything that you need for life and godliness. Your job is to simply see it and share it. See it and share it. See it and share it. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may Ruach, this is the part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seems firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass the message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.